Everybody doing? We got a good crowd for the situation, like you were saying earlier, for the situation we're in. I know we have a lot of people who are following us online, and it's a great encouragement, even though through all the stuff that we're facing, that we can still come together and worship God. You know, Russ has been doing a series on knowing God, and he's about three lessons into it, and I was listening to his lesson. And I wrote down this note to myself, your walk with God. And then I had a question, what does it look like? As we get to know God, what does our walk with our Heavenly Father look like? He's doing an awesome job, and this congregation is truly blessed to have Russ here at this congregation. He's been a mentor to me, he's been a friend, he's been a teacher. He's been all those things over the years, and I'm greatly blessed, and we are greatly blessed for him to be a part of this congregation. He's blessed us in so many ways. And he's going over this series he's doing right now, Knowing God. This is something I want to ask you to ask yourself throughout the rest of his lessons. What does my walk with God look like? Once you get to know God, what does it look like? I have this sticker on my car. It's a similar sticker. It's not just like this one. It's a like father, like son. You know, when Christopher was a little kid, a friend of mine gave me him a real set of turnout gear. And, you know, as children, we look up to our dads. And as a little child, he looked up to me, and there was moments like this that he was there aspiring to be a firefighter, even as a little child. He wanted to be like his dad. And that was such a blessing to me and encouragement to me to see them that. And of course, he got older and he had to decide that for himself if he wanted to go down that path or not. The same way with us. We should be looking at our Father for that example. We should be looking at Christ for that example, just as we did as a little child looking at up to our Father for that guidance. Like Father, like Son. That's what our walk should look like. When we want to have a walk with God. You know, Russ says it all the time. He tells us we need to have a relationship with the Lord. It should be a relationship that's in the cool of the day walk with God in the garden. But that's hard to see this time in our lives. It's difficult to see that type of relationship. I wish so much and look forward to that day, just like Adam and Eve were able to do, to have that one-on-one relationship with the Lord personally. But we can. But how do we do it? How does it look? We got to look at Jesus as the example. Jesus came down from heaven and here on earth and has showed us what that is all about. So we look at Christ's life, he will show us what that walk with God. Because that's what Jesus did his entire life here, was everything he could do to please his Father. You know, the worship we just had, the songs that were picked out, the prayers that was done, everything fits right into this lesson this morning. And I didn't tell him ahead of time what to pick, and I didn't tell James what to pray for. It just tells me that the Lord is present and in guiding this worship this morning. Everything is going the way he wants. He wants us to understand the relationship, the walk that we need to have with him. It's a tough thing to examine yourself. Because what I'm about to show you, what we're going about to talk to, if you really look at, it can be difficult decisions that you have to make, that you have to do to have that walk with God, that relationship with God. It's not an easy walk. I'll tell you that now. Because if you look at Jesus' life, was Jesus' life easy? It was hard. To the bitter end, it was hard. So when we look at Jesus' example for us, that walk, we need to look at his life. First of all, we need to have compassion. Jesus had an overwhelming compassion for people. You know, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, it tells us this, and Jesus went forth and saw the great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sickness. And when he saw the multitude, the great multitude he had was a mix of people. You had the church leaders, you had poor people, you had people from all over who wanted to see Jesus. And who did he have compassion for? He had compassion for all of them. You know, when I talk about having compassion, sometimes that might be a little difficult for us to have, especially in the world out there to now, because that seems that's what this world needs right now, is compassion for everybody. But when Jesus looked at the multitude, there was nobody left out. He had compassion. He took care of their physical needs. He saw them and was touched to the heart and started healing the multitudes. There's multiple more miracles that occurred that are never mentioned into the Bible. He tells us that. He just puts the ones in there that we need to know to have the faith and the encouragement that we need. But there was so much more that Christ Jesus did while he was on earth that was not written down. But you got to understand, he had a compassion for them. And it tells us here, when Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. We talked about it in this morning's class this morning about teaching the ones that are out there. That sometimes they won't take it very nicely. But Jesus did it with compassion, with love. When you talk about doing with compassion and love, it's from the heart. It's not about arguing over a point, as we were talking about this morning. It's about doing it with love because you truly worried about their soul. Jesus, we talked about earlier, left heaven right where he was sitting on the right hand of God to come down here and do these type of things. So we got to have that type of compassion for everyone. We got to understand there's nobody left out with that type of compassion. If we want to have a walk with God, if we want to be like our Father, we got to come, it's got to be with compassion. You know, in Luke chapter 7, verse 13, a lot of y'all already may know the story. When Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her and said, "Don't cry." This is the widow who was in the funeral with his son. So she was in the funeral of her son, but she's already a widow. Sometimes we miss that. She's already lost her husband, and now she's losing her son. How much her heart had to be broken. And Christ Jesus saw that heart and had compassion and love for her and raised her son from the dead. He looked at their heart. Jesus looked at her heart and saw her needs. That's what we need to do as Christians, is have a compassion when we are willing to look at people's heart and their needs. Not only their physical needs, not only their spiritual needs, but their emotional needs. In a way that people look at us and look at us, we're strange. There's something different about us. And that's what this world needs to see. If we want to have that walk with our Heavenly Father, we need to follow His example. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 34, it tells us, Jesus had compassion on them, and he touched their eyes and immediately received their sight and followed him. Let me tell you something. If you have that compassion towards people, Jesus had a large multitude of people who followed him. When you have that compassion, they want to be a part of that. So when you're out there having that type of compassion, out to the world, people are going to look at us and want to be a part of that. There's something different. When we truly care about other people's needs and concerns, they want to be a part of that. That's why Jesus had such a great following, because they wanted to be a part of something great that was going on. Let's talk about the woman at the well for just a moment. All of us know the story, and I want to go over to chapter 4. And I want to start with verse 7. You know, the disciples and Jesus were traveling. They come up to the town of outside of the town of Samaria. Jesus stops at the well, and the disciples go in to get supplies. Then in verse 7, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone on into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew. I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus didn't care who she was. He wanted to give her some living water. And that started that whole conversation right there about living water. But let's look back at who this woman was at the well. You know, it says that at the sixth hour, that's noontime, the heat of the day, this woman was coming in to get water out. The tradition, the women went first thing in the morning and went together and got water out of the well together for what they needed for the day. But she had to go by herself because she was separated even by her own. Because she had five husbands, and one that wasn't with her husband that Jesus told her all about. That you have five and plus one, and she was amazed by it. But Jesus didn't care of her sins. Jesus didn't care where she was at was in society. He cared about her and her needs. He could have talked to anybody in that town, but he chose her. He didn't bother him with what her past looked like or where she was in life. He just knew she needed the living water. And when we look at people, we should have the same compassion and love towards people that we don't care where they're from, don't care their background. We just know that they need compassion. You know, compassion, it's to say, hey, that's hard to do sometimes. But as we'll see as we go through this lesson, it may be getting a little bit harder as we go along. But Jesus had an unconditional love. A love that had no conditions to it, no requirements. It was there freely. People can say at times, yeah, I love them. But do they have an unconditional love? You know, some people say, yeah, I'll love them if they love me first or love me back. But Jesus didn't have that type of love. And if we want to have that walk with God like our Father, that's the same type of love that we need to have for others. And 1 John 4, 7 and 8 tells us this. Let's love one another, for love comes from God. Whoever does not love does not know God. Going back to Russ's lessons, if you want to get to know God, you've got to have love for one another. You want to know who love for one another is? Go read the Good Samaritan. That's who your brothers are. That's everybody. Because God is love, and he has given us this commandment. We don't have a choice in the matter. It's actually a commandment the way we're supposed to love one another. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. That's what we need to have, if that type of love for everybody who's out there. Everybody who does you wrong or talks bad about you, it doesn't matter. There's no condition to love. Going on with verse 9 through 11, it tells us this. By this, God's love was revealed in us. You want God to be revealed through you? We're going to talk about it at the end. You want God to be revealed through you? It's through your love. That God has sent his one and only Son into the world that he might live through him. You know, that little next line is from over there is a small print, but I'm glad it is small print, because realize that next line, which is small print, they always tell you to read the small print. This is important. And this is love. Not that we love God, but God has loved us and sent his Son for us. We got to realize that God loved us so much that he sent his Son for the atonement and sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God loves us in this way, we also ought to love one another. If God was willing to send his Son down there for us, that's how we need to love everybody out there, outside of here, and even in here. That type of love. Go on to verse 16 in 1 John 4, verse 16, says this, "And so we know and rely on the love of God as for us. God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him." You want to have that walk. You want to be similar to God. You want to look up to your Heavenly Father for that example. It's all in the way we love others. There's no other way. Hate cannot be a part of it. Anger cannot be a part of it. It's all about the love we have for others. Listen to 1 John 3, 16 and 18. A lot of us know some of this verse. But listen to this first part. This is how we know what love is. Christ Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possession and sees his brother in need, but does not have pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or with tongue, but with action and truth. You know, when you love with action and truth, it shows. It's not because you want to. I mean, it's not because you have to. It's because you want to. And there's a huge difference. Yeah, I love my brother because I have to. People can see the difference when you go, yeah, I love my brother. And then when you show them the action that you want to love your brother. And this is what we got to understand. We got to want to love our brothers and sisters because the truth will come out. You can't hide love. You may not realize it, but when you show true love, there's no hiding it. It's shown true and fine through. But when you have to do something, that shows just as well. We got to have a love for people because we want to. Because God showed it to us. He showed it by saying, I love you, and this is how I'm going to show you. I'm going to send my son down for you. He showed by action, and the truth comes out. That's the love that we need to have. I told you it's getting hard because sometimes when somebody does you wrong, when somebody treats you bad, is it easy to freely give love? No. But you have to have a heart that you want to show them love, despite what they do to you. Told you it's going to get harder. Examine yourself. Forgiveness like Jesus. You know, having compassion towards somebody, yeah, I kind of can do that. Having love for somebody, yeah, I can kind of work that in. But now I got to forgive them. You know, I've heard this before. I love my brother, but I will never forgive him for what he's done to me. Let's look at how Christ forgives. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. First of all, if we want forgiveness, it tells him right there that we got to be able to freely give it back. So we can't hold back. Let me tell you why here in just a second. For if you forgive men their trespasses, the Heavenly Father will also forgive you yours. Matthew 6:14. So if we want to have forgiveness, we're going to have to forgive others. Matthew 15, I like this picture, and when I found it, it's just absolutely perfect when I saw it. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you of your sins. See a pencil up there. You know, when you sin, there is puts a mark on you. So you have a mark on your life when you sin. And of course, it's there. And when you don't ask for it, it's still sitting there. But you know what? When you ask for forgiveness from sin from God, what happens? He takes the other end of that pencil and erases it. He don't mark it in pen because pen's permanent. Even though you mark pen out, it's still there. He erases it. And then he takes that piece of paper and from that eraser, and that sin is just, you don't even see any evidence of it. So how are you forgiven? When somebody does you wrong, are you kind of marking it in pen? Yeah, I got to mark that one out. He asked for forgiveness. But it's still sitting right there. Because you can see it all marked out. You probably rewrite it through it. But we should be doing it the same way. When somebody does us wrong, it may be marked in pencil. Yes, we were hurt. But when we should be forgiving them with that eraser and going, like it never happened. Now we're talking about something that's hard. That type of forgiveness. You know, in Luke 23, verse 34, it tells us when Christ was on the cross, this is what he said. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Let's look at that for just a moment. Christ is in the middle of two thieves, one on his left and one on his right. He's up on the cross, hanging in the midst of pain and suffering and being done wrong. Anything that could have been done to him that was wrong and not right, that he didn't deserve, was happening right at that moment. But Jesus said, forgive them. Let me ask you, are you able? And it's a difficult thing. In the height of you being done wrong, in the height of being hurt, in the height of your pain by other people, are you able to erase and forgive that individual that? Jesus was in the height of his pain, in the height of his suffering, in the height of everything being done wrong at that one point is when he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the type of forgiveness that we should be willing and wanting to give to others. Because you know, when we go to ask for forgiveness, will you forgive me? Ask Jesus. He says yes with a little nail and some blood. He said, I've already forgiven you. While you were yet sinners, I forgave you. And that's the kind of love and compassion that we need to have for others, for all. Or one that's willing to give compassion when nobody will give you compassion. Give love when nobody will give you love. And forgiveness when nobody else will give you forgiveness. That's the type of walk that we need to have when we walk with Jesus. And the last thing I want to talk about this morning is about sacrifice. We just talked about it earlier. Jesus didn't have an easy life to live. His whole life was a sacrifice. He sacrificed one time so many could be forgiven. He gave his life for each and every one of us. So we need to have a life of sacrifice. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it says this. Then he said to them all, if anyone comes after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You take up a cross, brothers and sisters, it's a cross of sacrifice. The cross, like Russ says many times before, is designed to die on. You're giving your life up. You're giving your life to Christ and to God. It's not an easy thing to do. Because now it's not about you. It's about everybody else out there, because you have a mission to do. You have souls to save, as we were talking about this morning. You are on a mission. You have a goal, as we were talking about this morning in Sunday class. But it's a sacrifice. And it says in Mark, the version of this in verse 8, verse 34, tells us this. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up his cross, their cross, and follow me. If you want to be a follower of Christ, if you want to follow the example of Jesus Christ, it's a life of sacrifice. It's about everybody else, not about you anymore. Because you know why? Our glory, our gift is coming. What we're about to receive, if the world understood, would be right behind us doing whatever it takes to get it. We're going to receive our glory. It's coming. Our Heavenly Father made sure of that. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ liveth in me. It's about Christ living in us. It's about that walk we have with each and every day. Russ is talking about getting to know God. And once you get to know God, then you're going to there's going to be a responsibility behind that. You're going to have to walk with God. If He's going to be your Father, then He's going to be your example. I want to leave you with this final thought, because this is a, told you, compassion, that's kind of a little hard, and the unconditional love, then forgiveness, that's a whole lot harder, but it's truly to give up my whole life for Christ. This is not an easy road. But this is the question that I want to leave you with, or the statement I want to leave you with. I just want people to see Christ in me. I don't even care if they know my name, as long as they get to know my God. That's the walk that we need to have. Walk that when people see you, they see God. When they come to you and see you forgive, they see God forgiving, how God forgives. When they see love, they see a love of God. When they see compassion, they see God's compassion. So when we're going through these lessons with Russ, and I think he's about halfway through it, I want you to take the opportunity, what does my walk truly look like with God? Because, you know, we all struggle. I guarantee you I probably hit on a point that one of us is having a difficult time with. One may be with compassion with everything going on, people getting frustrated and truly having compassion for people. Maybe it's for that unconditional love. You know, I'm being treated wrong. How you expect me to love somebody unconditionally? Maybe somebody's done you wrong and you're having a difficult time because they're treating you wrong and they're disrespecting you and treating you bad and done many things to you. Am I supposed to forgive them? Yes, brothers and sisters, you are. And you want me to take up my cross and follow Christ? Give up everything for Him? Yes, because your reward is going to be a whole lot greater in that day. It's not an easy step. It's a thing that we work towards. So I can tell you right now, I have to work towards it every day. There's areas that I preach on that I need to be sitting on those pews listening to, because I have struggles with different things. It's something that we continue to work to be like our Father. Christopher, growing up, he didn't do everything right. He might strive to be like Dad, but he wasn't able to be like Dad on everything. We're going to struggle with it, but we got to continue to work towards that gold, as we were talking about this morning, to do God's will. If there's anybody here this morning, I'm going to put up a slide here, that needed anything, you've got great elders here that will pray for you. If you're out there and you need anything, you put up this slide for the invitation here, you text Dale or Wesley, and they'll bring it to the church. If you're not a Christian, we can take care of that right now. You can have that relationship with your Heavenly Father. And you're watching this and you're not a Christian, all you got to do is text either one of them and we'll make it happen. Somehow, some way, if we got to come and get you, we'll make it happen. And we'll take care of it because we know what the priorities are. So if there's anything that we can do for y'all, you come now as we stand and sing, or text us and just let us know.